The Voices of Search podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything podcast network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com. Welcome to the Voices of Search podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything podcast network. Ready to expedite your company's organic growth efforts? Sit back, relax, and get ready for your daily dose of search engine optimization wisdom. Here's today's host of the Voices of Search podcast, Tyson Stockton.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Voice of Search podcast. My name is Tyson from Previsible.io. Joining me today is Chris Spann, who's the senior technical SEO at Lumar, which is a large-scale crawler, technical SEO, and accessibility platform. Yesterday, Chris and I talked about rising SEO security awareness. Today, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to jump into actionable and effective technical SEO insights.
And this podcast is also sponsored by Ahrefs. What if I told you that you could monitor your website's SEO health, backlinks, and organic rankings at no costs? Sounds too good to be true? Well, it's not. Because my friends at Ahrefs just launched Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Ahrefs' new Webmaster Tools product quickly helps you improve your site's visibility by pointing solutions to over 100 technical issues that might be holding your search performance down. Plus, AWT monitors for backlinks so you'll know the most linked to pages and how those links are affecting your rankings. And AWT shares what keywords your website ranks for and compares how you stack up against competitors for key metrics like search volume, keyword difficulty, and traffic value. Look, monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools. And now, thanks to Ahrefs, that's not the case anymore, because AWT will help you monitor your SEO health, backlinks, and keywords for free. And no, it's not one of those 14-day free trial offers. It's a powerful site audit tool that will keep working for you for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's ahrefs.com/AWT.
All right, here's my conversation with Chris Spann, Senior Technical SEO at Lumar. Chris, welcome back.
Nice to be back. I've talked a lot in the first half. I'm going to try and make this more of a conversation in the second half.
No worries. Love the insights yesterday that you gave to the listeners. That was a nice, it was a topic, you know, that I don't think gets spoken about enough in SEO. And yeah, so I mean, if anyone didn't listen to yesterday's episode, check it out where we talk about security, certainly risk or areas of concern from an SEO perspective, but also quite a bit that we can offer more of like an organization too from the security perspective. But today we're shifting gears and we're talking more tactics insights. So first off, like from your perspective, thinking about actionable and effective insights. What are you meaning by that exactly?
So my big thing, so my day-to-day job, so I love talking about security stuff, but that's just because I'm interested in it, right? My day-to-day stuff, as part of the professional services team, we kind of like a technical SEO agency within the business. So when you purchase the Lumar tool, you can also purchase some of my time as well. So a lot of my day-to-day is having client meetings and essentially providing insights on sites, right? Because obviously you get given... You have a, let's say you're brand new into a role in, at a business. You get handed a 15-year-old, 10 million URL website and kind of get told, right, there you go, off you go. So you bring on, a large-scale crawler. Well, what the hell do you do then, right? So a lot of people, a lot of businesses and a lot of CMOs, things like that, the first thing that I always hear them say is, oh, we want everything. We want to crawl everything. Nobody wants everything. I can tell you now, I don't want everything whenever I'm crawling a site. Within the tool like Lumar, I'm going to talk about how good Lumar is. I should say I was a Lumar user before I joined the company. I do genuinely think it's really good. It's why I came and worked there or applied to work there. You know, we can add log files and GA and backlinks, and we can crawl the site and sitemaps and lists and all this different stuff. But all it ever does is generate noise. And the biggest thing to do especially if you own, if you look after a big site, or worse, a lot of big sites. I talked about this in the last Brighton SEO, about starting to split that up and work on this stuff, right? So for me, actionable insights, I mean, the name's kind of, the clue's in the name, right? It's insights that you can use to actually get stuff done or get stuff fixed, right? Or that you can use so it's not like wading through tar just to try and get something of use, you know what I mean? Or even better, insights that you can farm out to other teams or to other people that you don't have to look at anymore, right? You know what I mean? Again, like, I know product and marketing will hate me for saying this, but I know that nobody on earth wakes up every morning and thinks, great, and brand new day, another 8 hours to spend looking at reports in Luma, right? Nobody wants that. They want, right, let's go in. Oh, hey, the new release went live last night. Let's just double check that everything went fine in that. Yeah, okay, there's no fires there. You know, let's make sure. Yeah, okay. Oh, that fix that I asked for last week. Yeah, that's gone in. Great, we can see that. So it's this stuff, right? It's getting a framework set up of a nice combination of things that you know are problems that you're trying to get fixed and things that you don't want to happen. So your catastrophic errors and things like that. And then quite often the third category, which is, let's be honest again, whenever Team X does an update, they break something, right? Something always goes wrong whenever this team does it. So let's track the sort of things they break. And we can check then every, they do their releases on every other Wednesday, right? Well, let's check Thursday morning and see if they've broken anything this time, right? So it's kind of your three bits. It's, are my changes getting done? Has anything catastrophic happened? Or has anyone introduced any new annoying problems? So that's kind of in my head what actionable is.
Fair. And I think maybe it's worth to just kind of taking a little tangent on this, because you made the comment of nobody wants to crawl everything. And I full-heartedly believe this, but it's like, I have been in many conversations where, you know, clients could be asking for like, okay, no, I want to crawl the entire website every week. It's like, well, probably not. And especially depending on the size of website, like,
yeah,
probably really definitely not.
Your CFO doesn't want you doing that, I can tell you that much, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? Or even just enough time in the day. But I think one, just for like SEOs out there, maybe because we have the full spectrum, I think, of listeners to this podcast. You have those SEOs that are in the enterprise space, other SEOs that are maybe in smaller websites. So everyone's going to have familiarity with Screaming Frog. From your perspective and your experience of working hands-on with clients' website, at which point, one, do you feel like a website should really consider a cloud-based crawler, whether it's Lumar, any others in the space? Like, what's kind of the point that you would recommend someone looking into a more sophisticated crawler? And also, how do you think about that determining of what volume of pages, what frequency of pages should I be doing in my like day to day?
So I would look at it one of two ways, right? There's going to be one of two things that where I think Screaming Frog, you'll start to run into problems with. And again, I should point out, we with internally use Screaming Frog. It's a great tool for, Lumar is brilliant at great, big, enormous scale crawls. We aren't great at going, let's just crawl these 10 URLs and check whether something's changed. Screaming Frog, you're going to run into one of two problems with it. Either you're going to want to know whether something that you're seeing was like that last week or last month, and you might not have the tracking that a lot of the cloud-based tools have, or you're going to hit a point where your poor MacBook or your ThinkPad or whatever you've got simply cannot handle the size of your site. That's always going to be the one of the two things that you run in. There's a third one, again, maybe, where, again, and maybe a security team demands something that has, you know, an SLA behind it and all that stuff, an SSO and things like that. But again, normally Screaming Frog's running on your machine. That stuff's kind of mitigated a little bit. But yeah, for me, they're one of the two things. It's either you're going to want that backup of data, or you're going to just running out of ability to do it with your MacBook. And I'm going to ask you to remind me the second half of that question. I'm sorry.
No, all good. And the second one would be, great, we decided that's what's needed for like the work at hand. What recommendations would you have for frequency and volume of crawls?
So if you're looking after one website, what I would probably say is a crawl of what's the best way to put this? Because I'm almost going back on what I was saying now and saying everything, but I don't mean everything. I mean everything that's got some commercial value. So make sure you're crawling your category pages, make sure you're crawling all that stuff. What you want to do is make sure that, okay, maybe you run your first crawl and it finds some weird infinite pagination issue. Cool. Okay, we know about that. We can raise a ticket for that. Exclude them. Work out what it is that's paginating them and exclude it. We don't need to crawl that every month, every week or whatever. So that's step one. Work out what you don't need. And actually, sometimes the best way to do that is just to do a completely unrestrained crawl and then just go, right, don't need that, cut that out. Don't need that, cut that out. And then what we do, so again, for the big e-commerce site that we were talking about earlier, who have, I mean, they don't know how many URLs they have. I can tell you their search console has the word billions in it. For them, we do things like just crawl the top 50,000 pages, start at the homepage, and just go for 50,000 URLs, see what you find. Because in theory, all of your top commercial pages should be within that 50,000, okay? Let's also do a crawl of the top 50,000 pages in GSC. And if you're feeling really spicy, let's compare the two and see what is and isn't in both crawls. So we can do things like that. For them, that's a relatively frequent crawl. Obviously, they're talking a very, very large budget. I would say at the absolute minimum, you'd want to be crawling your, and I'm thinking now if you're working for a very small business, maybe you're the sole SEO, maybe you're the only SEO that's ever worked on the site, or you're the first in-house, and you've got a very small budget. I would be crawling all of your money pages, the top 10, 20%, the stuff that the business probably relies on, right? Crawl them. If you're using Screaming Frog and you want, crawl them daily, at least weekly, right? Crawl them, make sure that there's no particular issues there. For businesses of most sizes, I would recommend whatever your definition of a full site crawl is, every month or so. And again, that's just to really start picking up issues, scale issues. Or if you have real, real budgetary problems, crawl almost at the template level. We'll crawl 10 pages that I know are built on this template. So I know that if these 10 pages have changed, then these other 1,000 pages have changed because they're all on that one template. Then I'm going to crawl 10 representative blog pages. Okay, I'm not going to pick up every broken image and every broken link, but that's less of an issue than picking up the fact that, you know, the blog is just down or something like that, right? So we can start to do those things. It sounds overly simple, but whenever I'm building a crawl strategy out for a client, it broadly boils down to we're going to crawl the stuff that matters to you quite a lot, like at a frequency where, put it like this, if you can't survive those pages being down, your top pages being down for a week, crawl more often than a week, I think is the best way to put it. Crawl pages at a frequency that's slightly faster than you can afford for them to be down by.
Absolutely. And I think the common denominator in all of that is you're having a purpose behind it. It's not just, hey, I want to crawl every single page every single week because I heard that was best practice. Like, there is uniqueness to different types of websites. Your point on crawling like different templates and having almost like your sample set from each page template, I think is a great one, especially for the really, really big websites where, yeah, it may just even take too long to go through everything. And you could go through a few hundred, a few thousand, and if you're seeing enough repetition of issues, you know that that's going to stem through that entire page template.
And that scales as well. If you're a multinational business, and again, I work with a client where I've seen this, and they go, oh, that's happened on France, has it? Yeah, that will have happened on Italy and Spain as well then. And it has, because they're on the same code base. So it's not just necessarily at a category template level. Sometimes it's entire websites because they know that they're the same as each other, right? So,
time for a 1 minute break to hear from our sponsor, Previsible. So you're looking for SEO help, and you got a couple of options. You could start replying to spam from agencies that claim they can get you to rank number one on Google. You could pay an hourly rate for a consultant who will inevitably nickel and dime you with hourly charges. Or you can work with a cookie cutter agency to quickly launch a strategy-less project with low success rate. None of those sound very good, now do they? Well, that's where Previsible's integrated consulting model comes in. Previsible draws from a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to unlock your organic growth opportunities. They build custom solutions that combine strategy, technical expertise, content, and reporting to effectively operationalize SEO for your business. Previsible's four-stage approach ensures that your SEO programs thrive by starting off with a strategy-first approach. Then they support you in your efforts to create quality content, help you identify technical issues, and most importantly, they'll work with your cross-functional teams to integrate your SEO strategies to make sure that your SEO budget actually drives results, not just your agency's bottom line. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, Square, all who rely on the SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's Previsible, previsible.io.
Absolutely. But like coming back around, I think like the big takeaway that I would say with people is, and this could even be done like if you're using Screaming Frog and it's a smaller website, is be deliberate in how you're doing this, because at the end of the day, the value is when you're taking action to something. And I've seen some of like just phenomenal bodies of work, like some exceptional technical audits done, that nothing gets implemented. And so there's no value of that body of work. And I think the same thing goes when we're talking about crawling websites and technical fixes. The key has to be coming back to that change. Like, what have you done with that information to then make a positive impact and change? And with that piece, so we're going through it. Some of the findings are falling into like one of those three buckets that you're kind of defining for the listeners. What do you like? How do you view next steps? Like, are you doing more of a prioritization by impact or effort level? Like, how do we move from data or information to that action side?
So I kind of look at it more, impact versus effort level, and obviously not my effort level necessarily, but again, the effort level of the team who are going to be implementing that change. Again, this is where I came back, like I was talking about yesterday, about the idea of having a tame developer. Like, I was very lucky when I was in-house. Basically, I used to sit at the end of the bank with the product team, or with the front-end dev team, as we called them, as we knew them. And that meant it worked both ways. It meant that I would hear things that was going on and get to say, oh, hey, hang on, that's going to cause me some problems. And vice versa, it meant that because I was visibly there, they could say, and again, like I was talking about yesterday with security, sometimes they'd come to me with, oh, well, hey, we want to change the way that this page works. And it's a page that's three steps into a customer journey that Google's never going to get anywhere near. But they're coming to me and asking me about it. Great, brilliant, that's fantastic. That means now that, you know, I'm being thought about. So again, you can ask that dev and say, hey, how much work would it be to fix this? If it's not a sirens going off issue, you could say like, is this a big thing to do? Or, hey, I heard that you're doing some work on you're putting in a new A/B testing engine or something like that. So while you're working on the head of the page, could you change this for me? Sometimes getting stuff in like that is great. But yeah, it's for me, it's that classic matrix. And for the listener, I'm doing a kind of right angle with my arms where you've got ease of the work at the bottom and financial impact at the top, and you kind of start at the top right and work your way backwards, right? It's kind of that simple. You start at the top left, don't you? You get the easy stuff that's going to make your money done first, and then you kind of, the stuff at the bottom, you keep in your back drawer for a day where, you know, where someone just says, I don't know, we've got a new dev on the team who's just looking for some tickets to do. What have you got? And then you get that stuff fired off, or more likely it probably just sits there forever. But if it's something that you can't put an ROI on, unfortunately, a lot of page speed stuff goes under there. Like, unless your site is diabolically slow, an issue that I used to run into was I would come up with all these great recommendations around things with ads, and I would be told, we've got to make the page faster. And I would come up with page speed recommendations. And then someone would say, well, will this change make us six figures a year in ROI? And I'd say no. And they'd say, well, the ads are staying then, aren't they? And I'd say, yes, okay, that makes sense. So
those are always fun ones to be in. And I feel like with this, so we're going through a prioritization now on like the actual piece. What's your recommendation from getting something from identification? And so we've crawled the website, we've crawled directories, we've identified those items that have the high impact potential from, and I would say SEO is like outsider. Obviously, sometimes SEO is within product word. But from that, we have our assessment like, okay, this we believe is not a heavy lift item, or the effort in is far less than the potential impact from it. What recommendations would you have for those SEOs out there that maybe they're using Lumar, they're using another crawler, they're finding all of the gems along the way, but they're still struggling with getting things implemented? And maybe it comes in the form of the tickets that they're doing or whatnot. Like, it's one of the most common frustration points that I hear from SEOs. And what hints or what tips could you give them to take something from identification to implementation?
Cool. Okay. So I'm going to give you the very Lumar-centric answer, and then I'm going to give you a slightly broader answer. So within Lumar, we suffer this. As a team. We flag stuff to internal SEO teams, and they say, yeah, I know, we've not been able to do anything about it. We hear it from non-ProServe clients. I've been in this boat as well. Everyone's been in this boat. We know it. So we added a few different things. So we have health scores, which are, now I admit there's a bit of secret sauce in this, but we're SEOs, we love an algorithm, right? Where essentially we can say, well, hey, the last change that you made, indexability score was 80, you made the change, it's now 20. Now, I know that's, you know, one man's view of an issue or one business's view of an issue, but this has had a material effect on this line, right? And no offense to any CMOs out there, CMOs understand lines, right? And they don't like it when the lines go down. So you can flag that sort of thing. Another thing that we have, and I was a little bit dubious about these when we first started using them until I saw them in action, but we do, broadly speaking, like a search funnel. So at the far right, we say we've crawled 100,000 URLs and 95,000 of them returned to 200. Great. So we'll take that pot of 95,000. And then of those, 80,000 were indexable. Okay, cool. And then you start going down, but then you get to a point you go, well, actually, the big issue is of that 80,000, 70,000 were duplicate pages. And so you can see a sudden drop off in the number of pages. And it's really, really stark. So when CMOs like headlines, like we've made changes to 100,000 pages on the website. And you can say, yeah, cool, but Google's not seeing 95,000 of them or something like that, right? So that's Lumar stuff. We use those reports a lot internally, and they're really useful for demonstrating to dev teams that butterfly flapping its wings, right? Small change over here scales out across a 100,000 million URL website, cause a problem. Another thing that you can do, and this is actually where we as SEOs are really similar to security team, is that we live in the world of, as long as we're doing a good job, you don't notice us, right? You only notice the SEO team when something's gone wrong. You only notice the security team when something's gone wrong. So in your ticket, it is sometimes worth flagging what could happen if we don't do this change, right? We need to turn off this JavaScript redirect that's on an A/B test that's redirecting everybody to a noindex homepage, because eventually Google is going to noindex the homepage, right? Be slightly not dramatic. Don't be afraid to kind of say, look, there are potential real big issues on this. And be honest if there are, you know, because people will check these things. But again, demonstrate what could happen if this isn't fixed, I think is the story, because that's a good way of scaring people. It's always difficult to put an ROI on things and things like that, but you know, even the most line happy of a product manager or whatever will understand if the homepage doesn't rank, we're in trouble, right? So I would say again, yeah, just build out that story in your head. You know what could happen. This is the problem. You know what could happen if that tag stays on that page. Nobody else does. It's a weird Google specific tag that's only on the page because you asked for the ability to put it on there in the first place, and then someone thought, oh, we don't want Google to see this, so we'll turn it on. Explain what could happen. Ideally, have a little Google round and try and find a case study. Again, there's plenty of case studies from different things. I'm going to bring them up again. The Search Pilot blog is a fantastic repository of what happens if we do X or Y strange thing to a site. Have a Google round. Every website that has ever made a mistake, some smug SEO somewhere has noticed it and written 2,000 words about it, right? Find that blog post, put it in and say, look, this is what we're doing and look what happened to this site.
Absolutely. And I think just two key kind of takeaways from that is, and I'm just kind of doubling down here, is being specific. And I think sometimes we get used to talking to other SEOs and it'll be like, oh yeah, this is a problem. And we just know it's a problem. But spell it out, be specific in those tickets of like, what is the worst case? Like, what is the worst case? What is the best case on these? And I think that tip of being specific, not making the assumption that they're going to recognize that it's as significant as maybe it is to you if it's obvious, but be specific. Don't leave it up to subjectivity. And the piece too on like the health scores, I think that it ties into like an element around like a narrative around it and also like a visualization. So it's like just in your description, I caught that you were naturally picking up on these different languages of the different groups. And you're talking to a CMO, it's going to be a totally different language, a totally different conversation than a CTO or even someone on the product org.
Yeah.
So using that and having some sort of visual, some elements, and even better if you can start to condition them when things aren't necessarily bad. So then when it does drop down, it's like, oh yeah, I've seen this before and I like seeing that it's green, not red.
Yeah.
But I think those are like, they probably sound like little things, but I find that a lot of these little things are really what makes a difference when you're actually getting things picked up, brought into like different sprints, or just kind of feeling like you're on the sidelines frustrated because none of your tickets are getting picked up. And a lot of it comes down to just the specifics and the details and the number of tickets that don't get picked up just because they're ambiguous or they're not well defined is a lot. And that's like one of the easiest things that I think we can prevent doing is give more information than too little information.
And then I think another thing, you know, we talk about this stuff. I think as SEOs, we sometimes think like almost like, and this, I'm not saying this is what you're saying, but we're all guilty of it, I think, is like, how can I almost trick dev teams into doing my tickets over somebody else's, right? And it doesn't, again, like I was talking about with the security teams, if they implement a change for you and it's done gangbusters for your SEO, send them a screenshot of Search Console or GA and say, hey, thanks so much for that work. I know it was really last minute. I know it was, you know, whatever, but look what it's done. Because ultimately, right, that developer, they've probably got a bonus that relies on the company doing well, right? Or shares or something like that. Devs just, they want to know they've done a good job. They want to know they've built a good thing. Good devs like knowing they've built cool stuff that works well, right? That's done exactly what they want it to. So go in and say like, hey, that change you made the other day, we're already seeing like 20% increase in traffic. And it sounds dumb, but if people like you, they're more likely to help you out with things. And then you can prove, right, that I've got an eye for noticing things that, you know, I spotted this, we did it, and look, it made a difference. So let's do more of my tickets, right? Because I must be good at finding these things.
Absolutely. It's like you're building the credibility, but then also similar to the conversation yesterday where you were, you know, talking about the security teams and typically team that doesn't get very much awareness or like recognition from it. Similar, and it's a, I think, more of a human aspect. Similarly, in this case, if someone's spending 2 weeks working on something, they want to know that there was an impact to it. Just like we want to know that the work and the time that we do is having an impact. And so remembering to come back and kind of close that feedback loop, and also have a clear definition of success. Like, we want to do this, and this is what we want to see at the income. Like, I found developers too, it's difficult when some of the SEO tickets may take a long time to have that, you know, impact on traffic or something else. So if you can add some sort of success criteria that's more of a leading KPI than a lagging, then they can at least know, cool, yeah, I did it. We're seeing what it needed to see. Yep, it's going to lead the traffic. And then to your point, also making sure you go back to them and say, hey, that was awesome. We did this. We achieved this together. But it's so much of that like snowball effect of building the credibility, building the relationship, and then, you know, just little by little, it getting easier and easier each time.
Yeah. When I joined the SEO team when I was in-house, we had a reputation for being link building cowboys, you know what I mean? And then I don't want to say single-handed, there were other people, but I was certainly very responsible, I think, for raising SEO's reputation throughout the business. As again, as there were people within the SEO team who understood how to build a website. And I won't lie, I was there for nearly 15 years and it was like crawling across glass at times trying to do it. But we got there. And I say we got to the point where, if anything, the dev teams would come in to me with too much that didn't have anything to do with SEO. But it now means that I'm in this nice position where I speak enough marketing to explain to the dev teams what marketing want. And I speak enough dev to explain to the marketing teams, well, no, I know this sounds simple, but it's actually not. This will take 6 weeks, or, you know, it's not really possible or whatever. And being able to do the two. As you were saying before, I'm used to having to kind of change my language based on who I'm speaking. And I think the more you do that, you need to learn what means money to different people. CTOs will speak in megabytes and seconds and things like that. Devs, I'll say a lot of devs just want to build something cool. And sometimes devs just want to show you how the thing they built is cool. You know what I mean? Oh, here's this really smart way I worked out how we can do this. Or, you know, here's how I rebuilt the redirect engine so that it doesn't take 2 seconds to redirect a page anymore. Sometimes they just want to show you stuff. Like, I'm bad for... Again, the listeners can't see. There's an arcade cabinet behind me that I've built myself, right? And my wife is sick of being taken out to be shown the arcade cabinet. People who make things, they just want to talk about it sometimes. So just listen.
Absolutely. It's such a good takeaway. And it's like, it's just a common theme across so many parts of our business. But with that, that wraps up this episode of the Voice of Search podcast. Thanks again to Chris Spann, the senior technical SEO at Lumar, for joining us. If you'd like to get in touch with Chris, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is at 503blazeit, or visit his website at chris-spann.co.uk.
Okay, thanks to Tyson Stockton, our guest host. If you'd like to get in touch with Tyson, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Tyson_Stockton. Or if your team is interested in SEO consulting or organizational education, you can always head to their company's website, which is previsible.io. That's previsible.io. And a special thanks to Previsible for sponsoring this podcast. If you're looking for support with all of your SEO needs, Previsible's integrated consulting model is there for you. They draw on a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to help you unlock your organic search and growth opportunities. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, and Square, all who rely on SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's previsible.io. And a special thanks to Ahrefs for sponsoring this podcast. Monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools, but that's not the case anymore, thanks to Ahrefs, because they just launched their Ahrefs Webmaster Tools product, which monitors your SEO health, helps you keep track of your backlinks, and gives you the insight into what keywords are performing for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's Ahrefs, ahrefs.com/AWT. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to voicesofsearch.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is Voices of Search on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet, and you want a daily stream of SEO and content marketing insights in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day during the work week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, remember, the answers are always in the data.